You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Chapter 12, and it would be to your advantage to read chapters 11 and 12 to get the contents of what I'm about to preach. Amen. But I want to begin reading in chapter 12 and verse 7. And you'll find the Apostle Paul has written here, and it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong." I want to talk about amazing grace. It was John Newton, the former captain of a slave ship who transported slaves from Africa to the United States, and he became a minister and got saved. And later he penned these words to this famous hymn entitled Amazing Grace. And we sang, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." There's a story of an old Indian chief who was very prideful and had his chest stuck out at being the chief and a great warrior for his tribe. And he had a young son who they sent away to college. And while he went off the reservation and went to college, he met some Christians, and they witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the young Indian brave got saved. When he came home from college, he returned and shared with his family the wonderful experience of becoming a Christian, much to the displeasure of the prideful Indian chief. And the father said, "You wouldn't have it. How could you forsake the old ways the way I've taught you and gain this new religion called Christianity?" The old chief didn't want to hear of it. But the son kept pleading with his father and convinced him that there was a revival held in another reservation, and the young Indian brave over there was the preacher. "Please come to the tent revival with me," is what he's told the Indian chief. And so he convinced his dad to go, and the first night they sat near the back of the tent revival, and the preacher presented Jesus Christ as the gift of God, and he said, "All have sinned and come short of God's glory." Then he gave the invitation. The Indian chief stood up, turned around, and said, "Me no sinner," and he walked out the tent revival. Well, he wasn't going to come back, but the son convinced him, "Dad, you got to come all 5 nights of the revival." With much pleading from the son, the chief returned the next night as the preacher presented Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And when the invitation was extended and the chair was put out there, the chief walked all the way down and he laid his peace pipe on the chair and said, "Me give peace pipe to Prince of Peace," and turned around and walked out the tent revival. Well, he came back the next night. And then the preacher presented Jesus Christ as a mighty warrior. saying, "Who hath conquered Satan, sin, and the grave?" The chief came forward again as the invitation was extended, and he laid his tomahawk on the chair and said, "Me give battle axe to great warrior." He got up and turned and walked out. Then on the fourth night, Jesus Christ was preached again, but he's presented as the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. And when the invitation was given, chief walked down the aisle and took his headdress off and put it on the chair and said, "Me give headdress to great head of the church." And got up and walked out again. Well, he came back on the last night. And the grace of God through Jesus Christ was presented. The invitation was extended, the chair was put out there, and the great Indian chief came down and said, "I have nothing else to give but me." And the preacher said, "That's what we've been waiting on." That same night, he gave his life to Christ, and they baptized the chief. But all on the next day, there was a big stir on the Indian reservation. Big Chief had become a Christian. And some of the chief elders of the tribe, they came out to stir up and find out, "What have you done? How have you forsaken the old way?" And the chief came out of his teepee and he said nothing. He looked around on the ground and stooped down and he picked up a worm. There was a pile of leaves there, and he gently put the worm in the middle of the pile of leaves, and he took a match and he struck the edges of the leaves, and as they smoldered and burst into flame, as the flame came closer and closer to the worm, he bent down again and he pulled the worm out and he said, "That worm me." For Christ had snatched him out of the flame. "That worm me." And brothers and sisters, until you understand that you've been snatched from the very fires of hell, until you learn that you are that worm, you'll never appreciate how amazing God's grace really is. By grace you're saved through faith. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And one of the biggest problems of Christians is pride. Yeah, pride. God saved you. You didn't save yourself. Pride. There is no danger that's more constantly besets Christians, even eminent Christians, than pride. Pastors and preachers, bishops need to be careful, because it's a subtle sin that'll creep upon you. And the next thing you know, you're bragging and boasting about what you have done, not what God had done for you. And it fills the heart, and pride will take you down while you're thinking it's lifting you up. Yes, you see, pride, jealousy, envy, strife, all of these things can kill the Christian testimony. Until you fully understand the scope of God's amazing grace, you should never brag about anything. Don't ever brag about how humble you are, because humble people don't brag. If you're humble, everybody will know it. You don't have to tell nobody. We have nothing at all to boast about except what Christ has done for us. So you've been successful in your business, that's good. But don't boast about it. You've established a place in society, but don't boast about it. You've accomplished things. You've got an education. You've had academic achievements. You've got awards. You've gone on and done great things. You got a bank book that's full and financial savvy. That's wonderful. You got wonderful children. You brag on your grandchildren, but you really have nothing to boast about. Accept the grace that saved you. Oh, I'm trying to preach to somebody. Amen. We live in a time where we want people to think more of us than we are ourselves. Amen. We want to get out and tell other people what great things we have done instead of what great things God has done. There's a danger in being prideful. But me, that worm. That's all you are. Grace is enough. It's all that you need. The Apostle Paul had written this letter to the church at Corinth. This is 2 Corinthians, but it is really the third letter, for they say the second letter was lost somehow, and so now he's writing in this letter, this epistle to the church at Corinth, because some have come to the church there after Paul has established it, and they begin to tell some things and boast about themselves as being super apostles, saying that we're like those that were with Jesus. And Paul had never been with Jesus, but he was born out of time, and yet and still he was an apostle of the Lord. When God had knocked him off that mule with a light that shone in the daytime and blinded him, he told Ananias, go to him and show him what things he must suffer for my cause. So Paul was called out to suffer for the cause of Christ. But Paul was one that did not boast about what he had accomplished or what he had done. But he said, I came to you in weakness, but I came in the power of God's word. I wasn't trying to show off and with special words and with things that would get you all excited. I just preached the truth and the power of God. But now he's trying to defend his apostolic authority. So in the 11th chapter, he's trying to defend it and all that he has gone through. And he said, I don't want to brag like they brag, because that's not my nature. He said, that's not me. That's not what I want to do. I will not boast about anything except boast of my infirmities and the thing that I have gone through. I won't boast like they boast, because you have to understand, Satan has become a minister. Yeah, he's become an angel of light, and so all of those who serve him are demons as well, but they put on the disguise as being angels of righteousness. He said, but let me just tell you something, since you want me to say something. And he said, I'll be talking like a fool. And let me read this from the New Living Translation, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 21. It said, but whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I am a boast about it too. They say they are Hebrews. Do they? So am I. They say they're Israelites. So am I. They are descendants of Abraham. So am I. They say they serve Christ. I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced danger from flooded rivers, from robbers. I have faced dangers of my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be Christians and are not. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights, often been hungry and thirsty, and have gone without food. Often I've shivered with cold, not enough clothing to keep me warm. But they said, let me go on and tell you about something that happened about 14 years ago. He said, this happened to a man I know. Now, he's talking about himself in the third person. But he said, I know a man. Expedient, meaning doubtless to glory in anything, but I knew a man in Christ about 14 years. I cannot tell whether it was in the body or out of the body experience. I don't know, but he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, you know there's 3 heavens, don't you? There's the heaven where eagles and airplanes fly. And then there's the heaven beyond that, which you can only see with a telescope in the solar system. And then there's the third heaven where God resides. He says, I was caught up to that heaven, and there was given me I heard angels speak and their revelation given to me. He said, I was in paradise, caught up and heard unspeakable words which are not lawful for a man to utter or such a one as to glory. Yet I myself, I will not glory in but in my infirmities. I just tell you about my weaknesses and not my strength. Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think about me, seeth me to be or that heareth of me. Yeah. He had this wonderful heavenly experience and kept it to himself for 14 years. And he said, because of this revelation that I saw being caught up in this ecstasy, I came back in agony because there was a thorn put in my flesh from the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Buffet means to beat constantly. So there was something going on in his physical body, as some theologians have said. He was constantly in pain. Something was going on. He said, this thorn, and nobody really knows what that thorn was in his flesh. Some say it had to do with his eyes. Some said it had to do with his speech. We don't know what it was, but he wrote and he said, it was given to me, and God permitted Satan to give it to him, just like God permitted Satan to test Job. Yes, sir. And you don't know if God is permitting the devil to test you. So he said, it was given to me, this thorn in the flesh. He said, three times I asked God to remove it from me. And if anybody could get a prayer through, I know Paul could get a prayer through. Because I remember reading in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail. At midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, but God heard them. And God sent his word down, and it shook the jailhouse. It shook the land where it was and opened up the state, the cages and of the jailhouse, and shook the locks of off of them and the stocks in which they were down in the inner prison, and came out with a light. And the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? I remember Paul can get a prayer through, even in the midnight time. So now he's saying, I had this thorn in my flesh, and three times I prayed to the Lord, but God did not remove it. As a matter of fact, God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough for you. You got my grace. Don't complain about nothing else. And in this time in which we live, when I hear so many complaints from so many folk, amen. And I call them crybaby Christians. Got a lot of crybaby Christians. Cry about everything. And then they post it on Facebook and social media. Amen. Tell everybody about what, if they got an ingrowing toenail, it's posted. Somebody's sick, they post it. Amen. And we live in this time because we're Christians. We think that because we have given Christ our life that now we're under this umbrella of protection and nothing is going to ever happen to us. You must be crazy. You ain't reading the same Bible I'm reading. My Bible say that the people who God used the most are the ones who suffered the most. What Bible are you reading? And you're talking about how things are bad and I ain't got this, I ain't got that. Let me tell you something. A recession is a period in which you tighten up your belt. Yes, sir. Depression is a time in which you have no belt to tighten up. And tribulation is when you don't have no pants for to put a belt on. Amen. We're in tribulation. But don't worry about it, for Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8:9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. See, I'm only as strong as my faith in the Lord is. I'm trusting God. He said, therefore, I will glory in the fact that God has put this thorn in my flesh, because it's really a gift. All of these heartaches and headaches and persecution that I'm going through. And I know I hear you complaining. You complain about everything. You don't think nobody's supposed to get sick. Nobody you love is supposed to die. Amen. You're always supposed to have food in the pantry. Amen. Clothes to put on, a car to drive. Your marriage is supposed to be perfect, and none of them are perfect. Amen. Your kids ought to be perfect. You know that ain't true. Amen. That's why we pray. Amen. Life is hard. And God gives us blessings and burdens, but when he gives us the burden, we're to understand that sometimes these burdens can be a blessing because they help build the character of what God wants you to be. Aches and pains, they come. Some of it come just because you're old. Amen. Amen. I told y'all before, both my knees bad, but y'all made my knees bad getting down on my knees praying for y'all. Man, y'all done messed my knees up. I'm blaming y'all for that. Amen. Preach. Preach, there's a lot of different things that causes the problems we have, and we cause most of our problems. And then we're going to pray about it. Saying, well, I'm just praying. And then you want everybody on Facebook to pray with you. Now, listen. If you put salt on everything you eat and your blood pressure shoot up sky high and you don't take your blood pressure medication, talking about pray for me, my blood pressure high. Fool, quit take the salt on everything. But thank God for his grace. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. It's unmerited favor. It's the favor you give your children who've been rotten all year long, gifts at Christmas time. That's grace. They don't deserve it, but they've given. That's what God gave you. You don't deserve nothing but hell, but God has heaven prepared for you. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't win it in the lottery. Amen. Grace. It comes to us through Jesus Christ. This is what John wrote in John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Let me give you this acronym in case you forget the rest of the sermon. GRACE, G-R-A-C-E. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Did you get it? That's grace. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But God gave it to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is said that once there was a soldier and he had a very painful disease, but he was a mighty warrior with his pain. And his pain prompted him to fight. And as he fought, he forgot about his pain. His expectation of death at every battle was near. He knew he could die in the moment. That made him a more fierce fighter. But one day they found out what was causing the pain, and a physician healed him. And he was no good for the battlefield no more, because all he was doing was careful of his health and his comfort. And his health and comfort destroyed his usefulness as a soldier. Brothers and sisters, there's a reason for your pain. There's a reason for your problem. There's a reason that God has given you certain burdens. Amen. And some of y'all sleeping next to your burden every night. Amen. But God has done this for a reason. It's to build character. That's another sermon though. Amen. I didn't know I was going over that way. Amen. But amen. All right, I know who the other, leave me alone, amen. But all of these things help build our character. Amen. All of these things, and here's what I'm talking about. See, the mystery of human suffering will not be solved completely in this life. There's a reason sometimes we suffer simply because we're human. Sometimes as we get old. The same body can bring us pleasures that can bring us pain. The same family member that can bring us joy can also bring us sorrow. Amen. That's why it's called this human comedy. And the only way you can escape is to leave this world. And none of us are ready to do that, but God has something better than us. Sometimes we suffer because we are foolish and disobedient to the Lord. Our own rebellion has afflicted us more than anything. But the Lord has seen fit to chasten us if he loves us. Amen. Now, King David suffered greatly because of his sins. Amen. The consequences were painful as God disciplined him. Listen to this. In God's grace, God forgives us of our sins. But in his government, he must permit us to reap what we sow. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to say that again. In his grace, God gives us, he forgives us our sins, but in his government, he must permit us to reap what we sow. There are consequences of your sin. And so he was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from sinning. 14 years he has held this and never told it about the wonderful thing that God had allowed him to see in heaven. But now he says, it was given to me to conquer my wayward way. I thank God for it now. He said, I prayed 3 times and God wouldn't remove it. But God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is good enough for you. That's all you need. And brothers and sisters, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care about your heartaches and your headaches, your heart attacks and your strokes, your cancer, whatever you've gone through. Grace is sufficient. God may not heal you in the time you want him to heal you, even though he's a healer, but you go through what you go through because his grace is sufficient, and his grace will knock all of the pride out of you. Amen. You have nothing to boast in. Grace teaches us. For the grace of God, that's what it says in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not by works. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing and regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, I'm here by God's appointment. I'm here in his keeping. I'm here under his training. I'm here for this time because God has allowed me. God is building character and hope through the suffering that we go through. Suffering is all right. Yes, it is, brothers and sisters. Suffering is all right, for God is building character in our lives. That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. These thorns in the flesh, sometimes we go through painful times. We go through painful difficulties in time. We go through burdens that we have to bear. But don't worry about it, because God is doing something in that. We are to keep on rejoicing in the Lord. I don't care what bad news you get. Keep on rejoicing. Let me tell you, you got more to thank God for than you ever had in your life. Most of our problems are caused by our bad judgments, our bad decisions. And too many of us want something brand new and ain't thank God for the old stuff we got. Amen? Oh, I'm preaching now. Amen. Give me some new stuff. Amen. You better thank him for the old stuff. Amen. He said, most gladly. Paul's come to the conclusion. He understands. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, listen to what he said. This is what I've learned from the thorn in my flesh. I've learned from my experiences. He said, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I'm nothing but a worm saved by the grace, being snatched out by the hand of God. what Christ has done for me. Yes, Jesus in his hour went to the Garden of Gethsemane and three times he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, let not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus realized that he had not done the will of God yet, for he came into this world just to die for us. He suffered. He bled and died. They nailed him to a cross. They had beat him with the cat of nine tails. They put a crown of thorns upon his head, but he never complained. He never cried for release. Upon that cross, he realized that he was dying on purpose and dying for purpose. And I could hear him saying, Twyman down, and he ain't been born yet, but I'm dying for him. Because I know his soul needs to be saved. He's going to be my preacher one day. I know that I'm dying for a call. I've got a whole bunch of preachers and deacons and people that need to be healed. So I don't mind dying upon this cross. For I'm dying for a purpose, with a purpose. I have never had sin, but I'm dying for their sin. And that's what grace does. He allowed Jesus to take all of our sins upon himself. Die in our stead. Die in our place upon the cross of Calvary. And die he did. He died on the cross. They took him down. Put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record said early Sunday morning he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand.
Yes, sir.
Me that worm. But Christ the Savior. Never get above yourself. Never think too much of yourself. You're here because of the grace of God. Unmerited favor. Undeserved favor. It's more than enough. His grace is indeed sufficient. That's what makes it amazing grace. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.